Welcome to the School of the Word. This is Lesson 68 in our teaching series, Unlocking the Prophetic, titled, By the Breath of Your Mouth. Our teacher is Alan Smith.
Lord Jesus, we love you and we thank you for this day. We thank you for today and the opportunity that we have to come together as your children. We ask and pray, oh God, that we could focus our hearts and our lives to your heart. I ask and pray, oh God, that you would, everything that clutters our minds, that would keep us from being attentive to your word, that would keep us from being attentive to your Holy Spirit. Lord God, I ask and pray that we would be fully aware of who you are in your presence in this house. I ask and pray, oh God, for spiritual awareness, not to the thinking or the minds of men, but to the passion and to the heart of the Creator. Lord God, truly, as Paul says, it's like we look into a glass darkly. It's like we see and we don't see. And Lord, as we struggle through our soul, as we struggle through this world, as we struggle through these hindrances, as we struggle, oh God, through adversity, we ask and pray that we would keep our mind on Thee, that we could see that adversity, I declare today, that adversity will only move us closer to You. We pray that adversity will bring revelation unto us. We pray, oh God, that adversity would show us who we are in that moment. Lord God, we thank you. We thank you for the adversities of life, because in them we know that we can see who we really are. So Lord God, help us when we see who we are. Give us instruction on to become who we're going to become. Give us grace and mercy to get there, and forgiveness, and give us grace and mercy for each other is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Each week I put out a little proverb. I thought perhaps I could even use them in Sunday morning's teachings. I put these out. They're going on Instagram. This one is, God's love for creation exceeded His message of perfection. And if you want to know what I build everything around, probably in my teaching and in my understanding of who God is, it's around that. God's love for His creation exceeded His message of perfection. So therefore He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to fulfill the perfection side, because His love for us was so great, It is for that reason that we can move forward and be bold in the prophetic, in the declaration of who God is, and that we are His children. We do not move forward in our own perfection. We do not move forward. That's the reason I like to say no one's more spiritual than another. If that's the case, that means one of us is better than the other and one of us is worse than the other. That is a life when we have a life of a comparison, one's better or worse than another. Before that system can actually work, there has to be an absolute on the right and the left. So we say that God's on the right, God's perfect, He's all creator, and we've got the devil on the left. Is everybody with me? God's on the right and He's perfect, Satan's on the left and he's imperfect. So for some reason, we feel as though we fall in between those two somewhat. Well, I submit to you today with this teaching that if you consider yourself or others to fall in the middle of that continuum somewhere, you're not getting it. The battle is the Lord's. Right? The battle is the Lord's. If you are on the Lord's side, if you are on God's side, that's when I say you are a 10. You're with Him. If you're with the devil, you're minus 10, let's say. But the mindset that I fall somewhere in the middle, I'm kind of good and I'm kind of bad. And when we have all of these ideas, the only problem with that is if you're underwater and you're only 5 foot over your head, does it help to be 3 foot over your head or 10 foot or 100 feet over your head? It makes no difference. Why? You're going to be dead just the same. Your only hope is to be above water. And so the reason the Bible says we have life and we live is because we're a 10 with God. We're a 10 in Christ Jesus. And it's in Christ Jesus that we live. Any of our own personal spiritualism or whatever we think we might be, has anybody ever had this feeling, I'm in over my head? Okay, that's good. It means you're in over your head. So therefore, your only hope is God, right? So with that, and as we move forward this morning, I want us to understand that it is important. And the goal we're trying to accomplish and that we're trying to achieve is to think like Him. Now, if I'm 5 foot under the water and I'm choking, I'm taking water into my lungs, it's because I'm thinking like me. I'm in over my head. But when I think like God, then I am where I can have life, which is above water. What percentage of the earth is water? 70 or something? Does anybody, where's our scholars? 60 to 70%. I'm sure I'll be corrected, but it's somewhere along in there. It's a whole lot more water than it is dry land, right? Now, I think it's good information for me to know that the earth is 70% water or whatever on the surface. I think that's good. Dr. Craig, what percentage of the earth is water? Okay, we were right. He's like us. He doesn't quite remember, but he covered it well. We... 71%. Okay, we all missed it by 1%. 71% water. I think it's a great, I think it's to our advantage to understand that the earth is mostly water on the surface, especially since it's most of the earth's surface. So it behooves us to look into what's in this water, and I think we need to be aware of the water. But it's one thing to be on the water, and it's another thing for the water to be in you. So in the scriptures, the oceans and the water, where am I going with this? Here's where I'm going. Let me tell you where I'm going so I can continue my story. Most Christians today are aware of how bad everything is. And the earth is bad, and Christ's return could be at any moment. We all know that. But let me give you a heads up here. The earth has always been this bad. Now, look, hear me through. What about the Bible says that in these last days, that these perilous times... Well, we've been in the last days for over 2,000 years. Now, hear me through. Will there be a literal Antichrist come upon the earth? Yes. But you need to understand something. Satan doesn't know when it is. So therefore, he has had an Antichrist in waiting in every generation. Historically, you can go down through through time, and you can see all of these different... And people say, well, this is the Antichrist. Well, the truth is, most of those could have been. So, we've been in the last days. Are things bad now? Yes. But they were bad previous generations. Just as bad. In other words, Christ could have come back in any generation because the earth has been in bad shape. So, do we have perilous times today? The answer is yes. Is there an Antichrist already been born? The answer is yes. Because Satan doesn't know the day nor the hour. So he always has to be prepared. I mean, tell the Jews that they weren't in tribulation with Hitler. Come on, somebody. They were in tribulation. Tell them they weren't there. No, they were there. For sure they were. What happened? God's grace was yet to be over. God's grace and mercy is still extended to mankind. So every generation, Satan is preparing an Antichrist. What helps to hold off that Antichrist? It's the prayers of the saints of God. That activates God's mercy. If you want to write something down for today's teaching, the prayers of the saints of God. It's the prayers of the saints of God that is prolonging this thing. Now, with that in mind, let's move forward. The title of Lesson 68 today is Changing the Spiritual Atmosphere by the Breath of Your Mouth. Now, I'm not talking about bad breath or good breath. I'm talking about the breath of speaking out of your mouth can change an atmosphere. Now, in this teaching, if you pick up where I was last week, I showed how attitude is everything. The scripture that we... used in Mark was, and Jesus said to him, if you can, all things are possible for one who believes. You see that scripture? I would like to see, by the raising of hands, how many believe that? Okay, everybody believes that. And Jesus said to him, if you can, all things are possible for one who believes. Now, there's something that is not being said there. And that is, number one, all things are possible. How many things are all things? They're all things. For one who believes. Now, it is up to us how we appropriate believe. As a believer, we have power in our breath, and we also have appropriation of faith. We know in Hebrews that the worlds were framed out of faith. That's the faith scripture, Hebrews 11. We say that by faith, we for some reason think that that just applies to us. But when God creates, He creates out of faith. Because it goes on to say what faith is. It's the substance of things that are hoped for, the evidence of things that are not seen. And by this, the worlds were framed, it says. So we see that God appropriates faith when He is creating. To one who believes, how many things are possible? All. So it's important that we think about what we believe, right? because it tends to be what we believe, we breathe, we speak. Now, the problem with speaking out of what we believe, we have two drawers, if you will, or two bank accounts, if you will, that we pull out of in our speaking. One is our spirit and one is our soul. The soul is pride-driven, ego-driven, and the spirit is Holy Spirit-driven. So every time we speak out of one of two bank accounts, if you will. Soul or spirit. Soul's pride, spirit is Holy Spirit. So therefore, I'm going to speak. If so-and-so keeps going down this road, I'm going to tell you where they're going to end up. I'm sure no one in here has ever said that. Well, I'm just going to go broke. Everything I do fails. Breathed it out of my soul.
Yes.
Now, I appropriate the believing.
Right.
I can believe out of my soul. I can believe out of my spirit. But the Scripture says, if you can, all things are possible to one who believes. Jesus, not only was He given instruction, He was given a warning. We like to pick up on the instruction side, but we don't want to consider the warning side. The warning is the appropriation of what you're believing in. I was speaking to you about the ocean and the water, and 70-some percent water is the earth, and I can ask people what was on last night's news or whatever, and a lot of people could quote it or say it or whatever. I've heard every interpretation on John McCain being buried and Aretha Franklin's and everybody, all of these interpretations. And for some reason, how in the world two people die and everything out of it is bad? I don't know. Nowhere is it mentioned that they died. This one sang this song right, this one did that wrong, this one did that. Did you see what this person was wearing? I'm like, two people died, didn't they? Nowhere is it mentioned. Well, the earth, for 2,000 years we've been in the end times. The reason I brought that up to you, are we in the end times today? Yes. Are things bad? Yes. But they've been bad. Now that doesn't make the bad any better. It just means it's always been bad. But what I'm trying to do is to unhook you from this idea that you got to give a report on how bad everything is, because it's always been bad and it's going to be bad till Jesus comes. Are you with me?
Yes.
So, there's nothing wrong with me drinking a little water. I need a little water to be aware. My body needs to be aware of water. But I don't need to drink a whole blame ocean. Somebody. Did you get it? I'll drown. I'll be in over my head. Anybody getting it? So when you feel like you're in over your head, you're operating out of soul instead of spirit. You're taking on too much water. You're watching too much news, or you're trying to do it too much in your own effort. You're taking on water. You're not up there where the light, where the air is at. Now, keeping all of this in mind, all things are possible for one who believes. So as a prophetic people, we are now understanding it's very important what we believe.
Yes.
I was talking with a person this morning on the phone, it was a lady, and what she said to, matter of fact, she's probably watching right now. And what she said to, what we were, not that she said to me, what we were talking about was I'm not talking about positive thinking here. What I'm talking about is, what am I going to proclaim and say? This is what we're talking about. Now, I can drink the whole ocean and give you a report on how wet it is. And I can tell you I'm in over my head. I think I'm drowning. Matter of fact, if you're trying to drink the whole ocean, your attitude's not, it's going to be kind of wet. You're not going to have, if you're over your head in anything, the tendency is to have a bad attitude. Right?
Yeah.
You're drowning. Now the question is, why are you drowning? I'm suggesting to you that you might be trying to drink the ocean. So our attitude has a lot to do with how much life we are experiencing. Right? Now, I gave you this scripture. It seems unbelievable to you, a remnant and small, discouraged as you are, but it is no great thing for me. In over your head. Where do we go from this? Matthew 19:26. But Jesus looked at them and said, "What man... with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." So there we have an Old Testament, we have a New Testament. It says that with God, how many things are possible? Now, we took the all things, where Jesus said all things to the one who believes, and then we took the all things that are associated with God. Are you with me? So we're switching one set of all things for another set of all things, which is with God. Now, those are the ones we're wanting to hook up with. Y'all know my elephant deal, my elephant teaching. I have a new love for elephants. I don't know how I'm going to get one and get it housebroken. But for some reason, I'm going to get an elephant. I know it's coming. The Lord says, "This seems unbelievable to you, or eminent small, discouraged as you are, but it's no great thing for me." Now, Proverbs says this, "For as he, a man, thinketh in his heart, so is he." So as a man thinks, so is he. Now, who wrote that, somebody? It's Proverbs. Solomon. We consider him a smart guy. Right?
Yes.
Solomon wrote that. Very, very smart man. It just so happens where he wrote this in chapter 23, he had moved pretty good ways in a lot of his wisdom. So one thing that Solomon, through his wisdom, had discovered as a secret being given to the earth, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Now you might want to apply that to, well, I've been thinking, I've been wanting a new job and a new car for a long time now. Why doesn't that work? I just showed you the impossible with God, all things. Right? Now let's move on. Keep that in mind. "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." Now, he didn't say a mind that wavers. A mind that goes on vacation and decides to run to God when he's in trouble. Didn't say that. It says the mind that stays on you. So it's important where our mind parks. Are you with me? It's a prophetic people. It's very important where we park. Now Proverbs 23 says, "For as he, a man, thinketh in his heart, so is he." Solomon knew that spiritual strength was more important than physical strength. Right? He didn't have great strength in his body. But Solomon knew something. He knew spiritual strength was stronger than physical strength. Have you ever noticed when you get angry, men? Maybe ladies too. I never fought a woman. I'd probably lose. That as men, when we quit thinking, we just want to fight. I mean, that's me. I was in three fights in my life. Two of them I said I won, I lied. One of them I lost. For some reason, when you flip a switch, a man just quits thinking, goes stupid, and wants to fight. That's just true. Now, should he? No, probably shouldn't. But at least you need to pick your fights, I'll tell you that. Now, the Bible tells us that we are responsible for what we think. Now, here we go. If I don't go any further than this line today, please write it down and believe it. The Bible tells us that we are responsible for what we think. We can't say, the devil made me do it. Right? I have a responsibility. And as for how we think, we say, well, I got a responsibility to work. Well, that's good. And I got a responsibility to give a good day's work. I got a responsibility to pay my taxes. I got all of this. But for some reason, we don't get it that we got a responsibility for how we think. That means you can't let your think be freewheeling. Did you know your thinking will take you where you don't need to go? You can start with a thought and end up in a lie real quick. And you'll make it as an absolute truth. And the truth's not in 100 miles of it. Says this in 2 Corinthians. Here's our responsibility. Cast down imaginations and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Yes. That's what it says. Our responsibility is to think like Christ. Amen. Your attitude determines what you retain. Now, if it's amazing how... if you want to drink the ocean, or if you want to give me a report on the case, you know, the condition of the earth or the world or politics or whatever, just like I say, it's nothing wrong with knowing a little bit of it. We need to know a little of it. But if I spend my whole life on trying to drink that ocean, listen, there's two things going on. The condition of the world and the condition of Alan Smith. Two things. If all I'm studying is the condition of the world, guess what? I'm using it as a distraction so I don't have to deal with the condition of Alan Smith. Now, I can't change the world, but I'm to be working on Alan Smith. Most of pride and everything that comes out of the heart of man about world conditions and all that, there again, we should know, we need to know some of it. But if all you do is spend all day on it and not on yourself, not everybody else around you, if you're critical of everything in the world and everybody around you, it's because you're not dealing with yourself. Show me the person that's most critical, and I'll show you the person that's not looking at himself the most. If you look at yourself more, you give mercy to everybody else. Why? Because you know you're going to need it. When you don't give mercy, you're not looking at yourself. That's just the way it is. Now, how do I know that? Because that's what I've done. That's how I know. Your attitude determines your success or failure. If you spend all of your time on drinking the ocean, guess what? You're going to die. If you spend all of your life, I know the world's in bad shape, but if you spend all of your life on how bad shape the world is, God don't need you to prove that He exists because the world's so bad. God doesn't need you to prove that He's coming back again because the world's so bad. God don't need that. But for some reason, in our pride, we say as Christians, we're right. Look how bad the world is. Told you, Bible said so. Look how bad it is. The only thing I can tell you is you're drinking the ocean. You're putting all of your thinking on the world instead of yourself. You're going to blame, not only will you blame the world, your list will keep getting smaller, then you'll start blaming the county and everybody around you, and then your church and your pastor. And you see, it's as a man thinketh, so is he. You're responsible for your thinking. Now, your attitude will determine that. We are responsible for what we think. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are what? Are true. Now, as I don't see CNN or F. Fox or anybody else, now come on, somebody. I'm not saying there isn't a little bit in there somewhere, but if that's your Bible, here's what you need to be thinking on. Whatever's true, whatever things are honest, whatsoever things are just. Is there much just on the news? Whatsoever things are pure, how much purity is there? Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, good report. Lord God, help us, Jesus. Somebody needs a newscast. Is the news of the good report? Probably wouldn't have but two people watching. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Here's his point. Think on these things. Are we to be aware of the world, its activities, what's not good? Yes, we're to be aware of that. But there's something in a religious spirit that craves everything that's bad to give bad report of the world. To some weird way, we think that we're religiously superior. That's all lies. It's not true. It's not true, somebody. You don't have to give a news report in this church house on how everybody sins. You don't have to do that. We all sin. We're all sinners. So, I mean, what's new to that news? We're all here because we're striving to think better, be better. Well, I would to God that this wouldn't be the place that you'd get all the bad reports. This is the place we hear the good news. Now, the purpose of life is to expose our attitudes. Boy, I got some amens there. The purpose of life is to expose our attitudes. If you want to see what somebody's attitude is, watch them when some adversity comes up. That'll show you what your real attitude is. Proverbs 24:10. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Does anybody like that when there's a verse of the week they want to learn how to quote?
That's true.
If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Adversity. 2 Corinthians. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Now here's somebody under adversity. The Apostle Paul was beaten. He's put in prison. He was stoned. All of these things happened to Paul. But somehow or another, he kept a good attitude. Now, we don't. That's not so we pat Paul on the back and say, good job, Paul. Paul shows us it can be done. That's what he's showing us. We are not afflicted in every way, but even though we're afflicted in every way, we're not crushed. Even though we're perplexed, we're not driven to despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. We're struck down, but not destroyed. You see Paul's attitude? Stoned, run out of town, everything. But to every point of adversity here, the Apostle Paul doesn't give you the ocean report. He gives you the Spirit's report. Are you with me?
Yes.
Philippians, I know how to be brought low. This is Paul again. And I know how to abound. He knows how to go either way. In any and every circumstance. That's all of them, isn't it? I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger. He's saying there's a secret in both places. So therefore, the plenty and hunger is not the goal. The goal is the secret. Abundance and need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. That's where that verse comes from. He says he can do all things. So the goal here is the secret, not the plenty or nothing. The goal's the secret. What's the secret? I don't care if I got a lot or if I got a little. That has nothing to do with me doing all things. I've heard people say, well, if I just had this, if I just had that, then I could do something. Well, you don't believe your confession of this scripture. lot of people's always looking for somebody or something else to make them prosperous or to be who they are, or to be happy or to be anything. Whatever you think you need to make you happy, God does one of two things. You're never going to get it. Or He'll do it like manna or quail. He'll stuff it down your goozle till it comes out your ears and your nose. That's plenty and that's abundance and nothing. He'll do one or the other. Now, so Paul says that he's learned a secret. It's that secret that we're after. Our attitudes are to be in Christ. Paul had an attitude that what he was after was not in stuff. What he was after was something else. Your attitude either embraces faith or embraces failure and self-pity. Now you got to remember something. Your attitude is the beginning of creation. Your attitude either celebrates life or death. Right? I showed you that. Whatever you want to believe in. If you want to believe in death to something, go ahead. Your attitude promotes success or failure. That's right. Your attitude always reveals what is hidden in your heart. Can somebody say amen? That's me. Your attitude will always reveal what's hidden in your heart. You think it's hidden, but everybody else sees it. Paul did not say, I can't, in Philippians 4:13. He says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now remember, that was just in the light of adversity. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of you, yet not I, but the grace of God that was within me. I showed you that last week. I'm not going to reteach it. Attitude determines success. Romans 8:31. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Now there again, I'm trying to get us to see how we think. If you think about how bad things are all the time, if that's your diet of life, you got to understand something. Please, somebody hear me. You start demanding, you start desiring. It's just as bad as any other addiction. The human soul gets addicted to bad stuff. You can say, well, a drug addict, I don't do drugs and I don't drink, but everything that comes out of your mouth is bad, poor, pitiful me, how bad everything is, I think I'm going to die. You're addicted. It's an addiction.
Yes.
It's an addiction to the fallen nature of mankind. And Christ is our only hope of overcoming that flaw. Philippians 3:14. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There again, Paul's attitude. Is everything bad? My goodness, he'd been stoned, thrown out a window, left for dead. All of these things had happened to Paul. But his attitude was, he can do all things, and he's going to press towards this mark of God in Christ Jesus. What that means is, yeah, there's a lot of bad stuff going on, but I'm going to press on towards the mark. That's his attitude. Please hear me. Paul's attitude. If your attitude is in what you don't have and not in pressing on towards a mark, you fill in the blanks. Your attitude is what produces the words out of your mouth. Now, here's where I'm heading with this thing. Your attitude is what produces the words out of your mouth. Did you know that? Can everybody feel that?
Yes.
Have you ever said this past week, I wish I'd have kept my mouth shut? Your attitude leaked. Right? And everybody else doesn't want to drink your ocean. Your words have power. Proverbs 18:21. I know everybody knows the scripture, but I want to bring just a little more light to it if possible. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Does it say life or death and life? It says death and life. Everything in your life dying? Well, you're eating what's coming off your tongue. Well, that's not me. Don't get mad at me. I don't care if you're mad at me. That's what the book says.
Yes.
It goes for me, goes for you. What comes out of your mouth. Now, I've already shown you how you help your mouth and how you clean it up. You change your attitude. Right? I just went over that in the beginning of the teaching. I'm not telling you to talk better because I know you can't if you don't get your thinking right. What you say is a production of the thinking. And if you got stinking thinking, you're going to get stinking life. I'm not saying you're going to have everything you want. Come on. I didn't say that. I didn't say he's going to have everybody and everything you want. Because Paul said he's learned whether it's good or bad. Oh, a secret. Paul has learned the secret, whether it's good or bad. Did Paul get his way? No. But he's learned the secret. Paul get everything he wanted? No. See, it didn't make any difference because he knew the secret. Now, if you take this teaching like I'm teaching you and so you can get what you want, you're going to be bad disappointed and call me a liar. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Do you see that word power? That word power means power in the tongue. Stop saying death. I can't do this, I can't do that. Well, they did. Listen, if most of your prayers and most of what comes out of your mouth is how everybody else is not doing something right, duh, right? Everybody else is not doing this and ain't doing this. Well, the United States doing this. Well, this Trump's doing this. Well, Obama done this. Everybody done. Listen, I've already told you. There's bad stuff out there, but you can't drink a whole ocean. If you try to drink a whole ocean all the time, it's because you don't have your two chicken to deal with you.
Come on.
So you're going to talk big about everybody else and how bad everybody is. And look how smart I am because I know how bad everybody else and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But you're chicken.
Come on,
to deal with yourself.
Yes.
Quit having all this diversion out here.
Right.
You can't drink that ocean. But you can deal with your own stinking heart. If you want to see a move of God, I'm telling you the truth. Stop saying death. Because it says here, death and life are the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat thereof. I told you, when people start in all this bad stuff all the time, you get addicted to it.
Yes.
And then it's your pride that demands you keep saying it. Because you got to be right. The problem's not the biggest problem. Your pride's the problem.
Wow.
Your pride's what perpetuates it. Because you got to be right. I would to God that I'm always the one that's wrong because I can repent. I know how. I've had a lot of practice. It's not as hard as you think. Now, stop saying it. Start saying, I can do all things.
Yes.
In Christ Jesus, it strengthens me. Start saying, whether it's good or bad, I got a secret. Right in here. Psalms 33:6 says this, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the what? Breath of His mouth. Now, I want to show you what that word means. Hebrew for breath is ruach. It is the power encountered in the breath. Now, I told you, what comes out of your mouth is your attitude, and your attitude comes out of how you think. I'm trying to help you change your life by the Word of God if you'll just do it. Get over not liking me or my way I deliver. This is me. I milked cows this morning. You're getting the best part of me, trust me. Ruach, breath. It's how it comes out of your mouth. You're better off if you can hold your stinking thinking, just don't say it. Once you say it, you can't get it back. Anybody ever heard that?
Yes.
There's a reason you already put the breath to it. It's like wind. It's power in the wind. Does wind have power? Yes. Can you see it? No. But it's air moving. Anytime there's air moving, it's the way God's got this thing created. Air's moving, it's spirit. It says this in Genesis. God said, y'all know that, don't you? Genesis 1:3, let there be light, and there was light. God said, now that's Ruach there. Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it be divided, the waters from the waters. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. God said, he ruached. You have been created in the image of God. You ruach. Somebody's got to get it. You ruach. You breathe. Genesis 2:7, and the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and ruached into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Your very life came out of a breath of God. God ruached. God created us in his image, and we go around breathing all kinds of stuff everywhere. Hell, it ain't no wonder we're even here, somebody. You are responsible for the way you think and the way you breathe, the way you talk. God forgive you if you talk about this church or any other church in a negative way. God forgive you, because it'll come on you. Quit it. You can say, well, you're right. Don't care if you're right. Deal with you. Mankind cannot speak without using breath. Therefore, speaking brings life to a thought. Now, that's just the way it is. You can like it or not. Speaking brings life to a thought. You can say to your children, well, this is what you're going to do if you don't quit that. Quit, don't say that. You just brought life to that thought. And then they do it. Well, I bless God, I knew they was going to do that. And you're the stinking one that caused it. They hadn't even considered it. Then you run your trap. You breathed on them. Jewish father blesses his children every night before they go to sleep. Every night. Every night he breathes on them because he understands Ruach. Jewish people handle more money on the whole planet. Why? Because they speak at night. They ruach over the children every night. Before they go, they bless them. They ruach. Matthew 12:36. But I say unto you that every idle word. Have you ever wondered how this verse works? Every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Why? Because it's Ruach. You're going to give an account for a life. I told you and I showed you where you're the one that has to choose. Are you going to give it death or are you going to give it life? Y'all don't hate me, do you? Do you believe what the Word of God's saying? Now, watch this one. Prayer imparts the breath of life. John 14:12. Verily, truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing. And they will do even greater things than these. Because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name. So that the Father may be glorified in the Son, you may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. When we pray, we are ruaching. You breathe. Not only are you breathing, well, let me show you what we need to breathe. Zachar's remember and speak. We need to declare, here's what we're doing as a Zachar. That's the remembering ones. We are declaring a divine proclamation. That's what Ruach means. We declare a divine proclamation. Proclamation means to shout forth. An official announcement. You ever been in with a bunch of crazy intercessors and they're all in there speaking in tongues, hollering to the top of their voice, some English, some in whatever, and you go in there and you think, this crowd's went mad. Am I the only one that's thought that? I'm not one of them. I like to watch them. What are they doing? They're ruaching. They're not even sure why they're doing it. It's just something in them's got to shout. They got to proclaim. It's just the way it is. If you don't have that, learn to accept it. Because I've just told you what they're doing. And just hope it don't happen to you. That's right. I was with one here about a month ago. He's going down through Walmart shouting and praying. I thought, oh my Lord, they're ruwalking. I done the study on it. Publication by authority is what it means. Official notice given to the public. When intercessors are ruwalking, or when you're praying, your prayers is making, it's by the authority that's in Christ, you're making a declaration to the public. But you got to understand something. When you make that declaration, you just breathed on it. We proclaim and confess God's word. A confession is agreeing with God. A true confession is an authentic prayer. A confession, a proclamation of God's word. Proverbs 10:11. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. We have to decide which mouth are we going to be. Anybody see that picture, who the main character is in that picture? Who is it? It's Abraham Lincoln. Now, we had the Civil War. We had a war between the Union, North and South. Now, the Civil War didn't begin over slavery. Matter of fact, war started in 61. I think the proclamation was in 63. Abraham Lincoln in 63 came up with the Emancipation Proclamation. The reason he did that is because the North was losing. They were going to lose war. So he says to himself, I got to make a proclamation. So he came up with what's called the Emancipation Proclamation. Is issued by President Abraham Lincoln on January 1st, 1863, to free the slaves of the Confederate States in rebellion against the Union. Now, he proclaimed that before it happened. Abraham Lincoln made a proclamation when they were losing. Matter of fact, I forget the name of the battle, but he gave it after they lost their biggest battle. Was it Bull Run? I don't know which one it was. It had a big battle. Big battle. Matter of fact, Abraham Lincoln already had it wrote up, and he said, no, we're going to have this big battle. If we lose it, I'm going to give it. Sure enough, they lost it. So he stands up, makes this big proclamation. Now, let me tell you something. When he made that proclamation, I don't know if he knew it or not, but it was the heart of God. Abraham Lincoln didn't say, you say the Civil War is all about slavery. It wasn't the beginning. They wouldn't step right out and say it because they're afraid they're going to lose some of the North states. So we had this Civil War. Never said it. Abraham Lincoln said, I'm going to have to say it. We're going to lose if I don't say it. Abraham Lincoln came up with it right in the middle of the war. It was over in 65, wasn't it? He started 61, put this in 63, he's over in 65. Abraham Lincoln made a proclamation from the heart of God, and it happened. Is anybody hearing what I'm talking about here? Do I think that you're one without it? I don't. Because Abraham Lincoln had to make a proclamation. Now listen to me, people of God. When you pray, you're proclaiming breath, ruach. Jesus is the living Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. When you ruach the Word of God, you're bringing Jesus into the situation in the moment. Abraham Lincoln ruached a proclamation. John 1:14, the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father full of grace and truth. When we ruach, it brings Jesus into it. Moses had a rod and a staff. When Moses ruached, he raised up a rod and a staff. He ruached with that staff and the waters parted. He went in front of Pharaoh. He threw that rod down, turned into a serpent. God gave Moses something to ruach with. God's given me and you a rod and a staff. It's called the Word of God. It's His words. It's God breathed. God's done ruached it. He's breathed on it. I'm going to have to quit, ain't I? I'm going to leave you right there. If you want to hear more about your rod and your staff and how we ruach God's words, you're going to have to come back next week. Now test what I've said. What I've told you is the truth. You better start watching your mouth. What comes out of your mouth, what you say. Has everybody got that part? Let's stand and I'll pray. Lord Jesus, we love You. We thank You for today. Thank You for the power of Your Spirit. Lord God, I ask and pray if there's anything that I've said that's not of You, I pray that it'll fall to the ground. If anything that I've said is of You, oh God, I ask and pray that it be quickened to our hearts, to our minds, to our spirits, that we might be more like You. In Jesus' name, amen.